Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Wednesday evening, July the 2nd, 2008. Carla Batard is the speaker of the service, teaching on When They Don't Go the Way They Should Go. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
That's what I learned. When everything's going okay, we can get by with that. But when the battle comes, you better know how to fight the enemy. First, you better know that it is the enemy so that you can fight the enemy. So God started teaching me how to fight the enemy. And that was one of the first things He said, look, I've given you a work to do. Now, are you're willing to give it up because of this? And I was like, when He told me that Satan is trying to shut you up and make you quit, I said, that is it. I don't care what happens. He is not going to stop me from what He's called me to do. No way. Okay, so the Lord said, you just live and move and have your being in My presence. You be about what I've called you to do, and you leave the rest of the mess to Me. And I said, I can do that. So I'm about what God's called me to do, but my heart is so broken. And I said, Lord, how? I mean, I can do that, but what do I do with all of this pain, the sorrow, my broken heart, the broken dreams, the disappointments? And He said, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth.
Amen.
So then He started showing me areas of idolatry with my children. See, when your children become more important to you than anything else, you've got an idol. And that's dangerous. You want to know why your children won't listen to anything you have to say? Idols. They have ears, but they don't hear. They have eyes, but they don't see. They have mouths, but they don't speak. They are like a stone idol. And they'll walk all over you, crush you. No heart for you. No respect. We need to be careful about making our children idols. So, that required me to lay all three of my children on the altar. Now, when this one rebelled, he was 17. Well, he was 16 when he got his license. And I knew we were in big trouble. And actually, I'll tell you what, I was so angry with my husband for giving him, just to me it was like enough rope to hang himself with. And that really caused some problems in our marriage. And I love this man. Speaking of ashes, we don't have any in our house. Well, we did for a while, but we reignited the fire. But it almost destroyed our marriage. And let me tell you, that is the plot of the enemy. He wants to destroy your kids. You know why? Because he is after the seed. He's always been after the seed. Since God said, I'm going to put enmity between you and her and your seed and her seed, He's been after the seed since then. And our children are our seed. And the Word is the seed. He wants to destroy the Word that's in your children. He wants to destroy your children so He can destroy your home and destroy the marriage. Because if He can destroy all that, He can destroy the church. And he's doing it. We're seeing the result of that. I'll tell you, our problems are not when they took prayer out of the school. Do you know if there had been prayer in the home, that wouldn't have had an effect on anything? We can't blame it on prayer being taken out of the school. What are we doing at home? It's not the church's responsibility to teach our children spirituality, to teach our children to trust God, to know God. And dads, whether you know it or not, you are a picture of God to your children. God is loving. The Word says that fathers are to bring up their children in the love and admonition of the Lord. That means training, spiritual training. I used to take mine out of school once a year to go to a family camp. It's a CFO camp in Palestine, Texas. And it always was around the time of finals at school. Even junior high, when the kids were in junior high. And they could not miss those finals. because that was so much percentage of their grade. Of course, they did that for incentive to get the kids there, because guess what? Those schools are paid so many dollars a head. Of course, the churches do that too. I was shocked to learn that. In a denomination, if you're on the roll, that church has to pay so much money per head to the big, you know, the head organization of that church. And when we left the Methodist church, I said, we kept getting the letter, you know, and their little tithe things. When it was time to do their budget, everything, people would come to the house, how much are you going to pledge and all this stuff. We weren't even going to that church. So I called them up and I said, you know, I'd like y'all to take us off the roll of that. We don't even go there anymore. Well, I'm sorry we can't do that until you have your letter transferred. I said, what are you talking about? She said, well, you are enrolled here as a member, and until you join another church and become a member there, we still have your letter. I said, you act like you got a title all my life. I was young. And I told them exactly how I felt, you know. Well, you don't own me. If you want to keep paying for me, go ahead. Because we probably won't, the church that we're going to, we don't do that. We're there voluntarily. But anyway, the school gets so much money per head per student. So they want you in school. Now they have a law that if you don't go to school, guess who goes to jail? Mom and Dad. You know why? Because parents are not seeing to it that their children go to school. It's getting crazy out there. Okay. I don't even know where I was going with that. A good rabbit trail. I told a friend, I'm always chasing rabbits. She said, sometimes there's meat on them rabbits. But anyway, Satan is wanting to destroy your children. He wants to destroy the marriage. He wants to destroy the home so he can destroy the church. Now, I'm going to tell you about a dream I had. Because what God showed me was that this is just a distraction. See, if you can stay out of fear, hey, give your kids to me. Do what you're supposed to do. But if they don't get all in fear, trust him to me. When he left home, that's where I was going with this. I want us to look at, oh, I know what it was. He was, when he was 17, he decided he was going to leave home. He just didn't like it that we were always fussing and things had gotten bad in the home. And so he decided he was going to run away. He came in one night and he said, I just want y'all to know I'm leaving after y'all go to bed. Well, we're going to sleep good. Actually, I did sleep good because God had already brought peace to me about all this. But Mike didn't sleep good. In fact, it so depressed him that he just went straight to bed. And I was, you know, I said, well, can I fix you a sandwich before you go? I mean, hate for you to leave hungry. So I fixed him a sandwich, and I was getting the coffee pot ready for the next morning, and I'm standing at the sink and just, you know, just like, gosh, how did things get to be so terrible? And the Lord said, go read, it's slipped my mind. Where's the prodigal son? Luke 15. It's Luke 15. It's either 11 or 15. It's Luke 15. Let's take a look at the prodigal son. The Lord said, go look at Luke 15. Well, I didn't even know what was in Luke 15 at the time, but I went and got my Bible, and I started reading at verse 11. This was in February of 1998. It was even cold outside. It says, a certain man had two sons. I went, oh my gosh, that's Mike. We have two sons. And the younger of them, oh, Kyle is the younger. Oh my gosh, I took it to the bedroom. You got to listen to this. So I read it to him. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. I'm glad Kyle didn't know this story. (Laughter) There wasn't much left at this point anyway. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance, or all the money that his dad had given him, with riotous living. That mean boy, he partied. He spent that money on whatever he wanted, and it was gone. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. Now, I don't think he was talking about the country he went to. It was his land. He had a famine going on because he had no money. And when you have no money, you don't eat. And you don't have a place to live. So there was a famine in his land. And the next thing says, and he began to be in want. He was hungry. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. So, okay, he's beginning to think, now, I got to make some money somehow. So he goes and works for this pig farmer. Goes out to feed his pigs. Verse 16, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, because he didn't have any food. And look at that next sentence. And no man gave unto him. This is very key. I just read this again to Mike the other day. I said, listen to this. And the next sentence says, and when he came to himself, you know why he came to himself? No man gave him anything. He was in trouble now. So, when no man gave to him, he began to think, and he came to himself. And when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to eat and to spare? And I perish with hunger? What kind of fool am I? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of our hired servants. Now, he was willing to go back even as a servant after this. And he arose and came to his father's father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, and then he repented. The father took him in. They had a big party. And there's more to that story, but we'll do that another time. But what was interesting was that you can learn some things just by looking at this story. This young man was not old enough to leave home because the Israelites, when they reached a certain age, they were given their own little tent or hut or whatever they lived in, and they became responsible. But this man had two sons, and the younger, the oldest one, just like ours, obedient to the T. And he didn't like it. He didn't like it. He was embarrassed of his brother. His brother had shamed the family. His brother, people would get him mixed up with the brother, and that was bad for him because, I mean, he was an achiever. He graduated valedictorian of his class. He couldn't have people thinking that he was in jail. And one day he came home, and Kyle was in jail again, and I said, well, you know, Wade, Kyle is in jail, and he was just disgusted. I said, but I don't want you to say anything to him. He says, don't worry. I'm not saying anything to him. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. Is that how you would feel if we just found out he had cancer? Is that how you would feel toward your brother? I said, he doesn't need your condemnation. He needs your love. He is sick. It's not something you can cut out with a knife, but it's a spiritual illness. And he needs your love, not your shame. And so, of course, that's hard too because I wanted to strangle him. But I tell you what, you know, pride is a terrible thing. And that really did a job on whatever pride we had left. You know, it wasn't even, I mean, the whole town was talking about us. And I learned that from a prophet. The very first prophet I ever heard said, he said, all this nonsense going on in your family, all this gossip going on about your family. But he had encouraging words to say after that. But I couldn't even hardly receive it because I was so distraught. So when we left, I asked my prayer partner, I said, did he say gossip? She said, don't you know everybody's gossiping about y'all? I said, who are we? He's looking at us. She said, everybody. I thought, why? Well, they just are. See, that was Satan's plan. And that was another thing God said. Satan is trying to discredit you in the community so that nobody will listen to what you have to say. And that gave me a whole insight into preacher's kids. I mean, forever. We can see how Satan's been using the seed of the righteous forever. Those preacher's kids, oh, we know how they were. They're wild as a marsh hare, most of them. And this is why Satan is hard-pressed for the kids of the righteous. And I learned that. I had to repent. And that is, let me say this. If you're having trouble with your kids, or if you know someone who's having trouble with their kids, ask them, have you judged somebody else's situation? Because what you judge is going to come to your house. And I did it. When I was young and full of pride and my children were all in my control, I had all the answers. There were some wild kids down the street. I knew exactly what they needed to do with those kids. Well, Satan gave me an opportunity to use my theory. So if you've judged anybody, it doesn't even have to be about your kids. If you're suffering anything in your life, ask yourself, examine, have I judged somebody else about the same thing? Because it's like a purchase order. It is a spiritual principle, and nobody gets by it. Nobody. So if you have, just don't get fearful, just repent. You can break the thing by repenting. Humble yourself before God. So this prodigal son, the younger son, here he is. Now the older son's happy to work for his dad. The younger son is sick of it. He is not willing to work there anymore and be under the father's authority. So he takes his stuff and leaves. He was dissatisfied. He was bold asking for his inheritance. You don't get your inheritance until the dad dies. Man, he was really bold. But you know what? The dad gave it to him and let him go. We can learn from that. He let him go. Here. Bye. He didn't chase after him. He didn't hunt for him. He didn't call over the county looking for him. He let him go. Did he give up? Never. He was watching all the time. Watching. And you know he was praying for that boy. But he let him go. Now maybe the daddy spoiled the kid. Maybe he gave him everything he wanted. That happens sometimes. The older kid gets all the responsibility and the younger kid gets all the junk. There was an animosity between the brothers. Probably it was there all along, but it didn't show up till the party came about. Ha! I've been the good one and you're going to give him the party? I've been there too. I was the good one in my family. But guess what? I had children who had the rebellion and stuff that was in my older brothers. And I always thought, well, that's kind of chicken. Why wasn't he born to him? But it doesn't work that way. We don't get to pick and choose. Our seed, I mean, that gene pool, there's 64 people that little baby is made up of. Not just me and Mike. No, no, no. It's grandpa, great, and on and on. And you don't know what's back there. You have no idea what's back there until the seed begins to grow and manifest, and then you're thinking, uh-oh. One time I asked, okay, I want to know who the Peeping Tom was in the family. Was there a Peeping Tom in the family anywhere? Everybody's going... See, those are the things nobody talks about. And yet they manifest in our children. See, that's why Deliverance Camp is good. Because when they pray those corporate prayers, pray them. Because you don't know what's in your bloodline back there. And get it broken now. Get it broken now. And whatever you get delivered from, go home and break it off of your children. That's what it's all about. I say if I'd known about deliverance when I delivered my babies, that ring would have had more than one meaning. I would have delivered them, and then I would have delivered them. And maybe, you know, who knows? I didn't know all this stuff when my babies were born. But over my grandchild, in my daughter's womb, We ain't having any more of that. In Jesus' name. So the dad let the boy go. He continued to look for him, but he didn't rescue him. He never stopped waiting. And it says in verse 20 that a great way off he saw that boy.
Right.
And ran to him because he knew if the kid was coming back, he had a repentant heart. See, so if we go out and rescue him, we're doing all this stuff, we are just prolonging our agony. And it gives your children the wrong perception of God. Because that's not... God is just. He doesn't let you... I mean, there's grace, yes. But Paul even says, do not frustrate the grace of God. Grace is good. And there's consequences that are supposed to bring you back to the right path. So why do we try to avoid this process? Number one, pride. We think, oh my goodness, we don't want people to know that he's in jail. We want to get him out of jail. We don't want people knowing he's in jail. Sometimes people will go to the... We have a friend that owns a radio station. There's people, please do not broadcast. In this small town, everything's on the radio. Everybody listens to the 7 o'clock news in the morning to see who got arrested, who got drunk, and who ran into the woods, and, you know, who had wrecks, and all that. It's on the front page of the paper. We had so much going on at one time that this person said to me, I don't know how you even know your name. I said, I just read the police beat in the newspaper. And I know who I am. Oh, yeah. There we are. Number two, pride. That's going to be a reflection on me. What will people think about what kind of parent I've been? But you know what? Once they reach that age where they choose to go against what you say, their behavior is no longer your responsibility or reflection on you. That was another thing I used to wrongly judge people for. Lord, forgive me again. I learned you can do everything right. But this is what God said to me one day because it was so bad. Not only was our middle son in and out of jail, our oldest son was so distraught by what was happening in his family that he took refuge at a friend's house, and they were Mormons. And that was their opportunity to say, see, Christianity doesn't work. We've got the answer. We've got the truth. Look at our families. And he joined the Mormon Church on Mother's Day, 1999. But God's given me peace about that, too. I was going to a meeting one time. I knew I was going to see people that knew me, and we had moved out of the area. We'd been gone for about 10 years, and I knew the first thing they were all going to do after they hugged me, well, how are your children?
Yeah.
I thought about that driving down there, and I said, Lord, you know I don't care about telling them. I really don't. But then I have to console them. And that gets tough. And he said to me, just as clear as a bell one day, it was right after I said that. I didn't expect him to say anything, really. He said, if anybody asks you about your children, you tell them that all three of them are in training for the ministry. And I said, I like that. I receive that. I believe that. I believe that. So what does that call for? Now I've got to live by faith. See, we really don't know how to live by faith. Because we all live by sight. First thing that happens, you know, we live by sight. Now, God said to me that day, now you can either, because I was bawling and squalling, he said, as long as you look at sight and circumstances, this is where you're going to find yourself. You can either continue to do that or you can stand on my word. And I had to stop crying to think about it. Stand on your word. He said, that's right. Those two scriptures, train up a child in the way he should go, and all your children shall be taught of me, and great shall be their peace. Man, them fighting words. I did that. And he said, then stand on my word. And all of a sudden, I pulled down one of those little notes on the bulletin board, a question. Lord, you said that the just shall live by faith. We're people of faith. We have faith. But how do you live by faith? And he showed me in Romans chapter 4. He's talking about Abraham. And let me just give you some points, because you're going to need this someday. And if you don't, then some of your friends are going to need it. It's talking about Abraham. It says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which are not as though they were. Now here's how you live by faith. Who against hope believed in hope. Against hope. In a perfectly hopeless situation,
Amen.
He had hope.
Amen.
That he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. Here's the next step. And being not weak in faith, he considered not. Considered not. His own body now dead. I mean, he was over 100 years old. And his wife was 90. 90-year-old women do not have babies, in case y'all don't know. 90-year-old women, well, I sure hope not. But he considered it not. You know why? Because God said he was going to give him a son. So I don't care how old, how dead, how anything, he considered not the circumstances. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God. Now, what are the promises? The promise was that if I train them up in the way they should go, they will not depart from it. Now, it looked like it didn't work. But what he showed me, he was telling me, don't stagger. Here's the promise. You did that. And here's the manifestation of the promise. But you're right here. Now, live like it's already done. You've got to see it done in the Spirit and believe it and believe it and never back down from it. Never change the words of your mouth. I say, Lord, every day, Lord, I thank you that all three of my children are in training for the ministry. I thank you that each one of them received you as their Savior, were baptized, and about that baptism, and this goes for anybody else here, did you know that baptism is the first step of obedience after being saved? A lot of people fight that. Get it settled. If you hadn't been baptized and you've been saved, you need to be baptized. And here's your opportunity. I say, they belong to you, they were baptized into you, and they will serve you all the days of their life. Does it look like it? No. But I'm living by faith, and I'm not moving from it. And you can do that with your children, because God loves them more perfectly than you know how to. When Kyle was out there, he did, he left home. I didn't know where he was. We didn't know where he was for a long time. I'd lay down at night and say, Lord, I don't know where he is, but I know your eyes are on him. You can see him right now. That gives me peace. And I'd lay down and go to sleep. God loves me more than I know how to. I can trust God with his life, like Abraham and Isaac. And the last thing was, it says he staggered not at the promise of God. How? Through unbelief. Got to hang on to your belief. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. I think he was thanking God for that kid every day. Thank you. Thank you for Isaac. Thank you for that child you're going to give me. Thank you for the many nations that are going to come from my loins. He was giving God glory when it didn't even look like he was ever going to have that child. And being fully persuaded, here it is, that what God promised he was also able to perform. And he can perform it. He can perform it. Okay, so now we're just going to, maybe you didn't know all of this when you started having your kids. And really and truly, this is not just for us. My pastor and his wife are going through exactly what Mike and I went through. They're about 10 years younger than we are, and they're in the midst of it right now. And I'm there to tell her, this is a plot from the enemy. Don't cooperate with him. Guard your heart. Watch your mouth, you know. It's for the body of Christ, because so much of this is going on, even in the church. There is just as much drug abuse by children of the godly. There's just as many girls having babies out of wedlock among the godly. So we've got to have faith, and we need to begin to fight for our children. I appreciated what you said. I wish I'd have known that when all this was going on. I didn't know that. But I'm telling y'all that. so that when it happens, if it happens, I'm not saying that it will, but if it does, here's the things that you need to heed. And if you know people that are going through this, give them the CD. Help them because they need it. Too many times we don't know that it's even going on because of pride. You know, they don't want anybody to know this is going on until the marriage is falling apart, the kids are scattered, and it's a bigger mess than it was. So right now, let's just close your eyes, and we're going to pray a prayer of repentance. If you did not know how to train them up in the way they should go, if your home was out of order, if you haven't taught your children, brought them up in the love and admonition of the Lord, if you haven't made it a priority to bring your children into a right relationship with God, it's not too late. If your children are grown, it's not too late to commit them to God. Lay them on the altar. Stop trying to be the Savior. You're not the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. Get out of the way. Let them go so God can take them up. Ask God to forgive you. Just repent. And ask God to help you know what to say and when to say it. When to speak and when to keep your mouth shut. You know, I've learned that throwing your pearl before the swine is when I try to give my children advice they didn't ask for. That is casting your pearl before the swine and they'll just trample it. Don't do that. Let go of them. Let God. You know, He said He'll be a father to the fatherless. He told me that. Stop looking to Mike to father Kyle. I will father Kyle. Well, you know what that did? It diffused my anger. Now I was free to just love him again because God's going to father him. You know, Mike's learned a lot since then. Of course, our children are grown and out of the house now, but he can still, he will have that knowledge, that experience to help others that it happens to. But you don't want to learn by experience. You know what wisdom is? Learning from somebody else's mistake. That's what wisdom is. Okay. So, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we just come before you, Lord. We ask you to forgive us where we have failed as parents. Lord, I ask you to forgive every man who has not heeded your word, looked to your word into how to raise their children. And, Lord, for mothers, we all make mistakes, Lord. I ask you to forgive every hurtful word that we've said to our husbands, every hurtful word that we've said to our children. Lord, forgive us for getting angry at you when it's not your fault. Amen. But Lord, help us, teach us, speak to us. Send your Holy Spirit and give us wisdom and help us to raise up our children in the way they should go. Help us to bring them up in the love and admonition of the Lord. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I come against every spirit that is working against our children, our marriage, our home, our churches. Every spirit sent for destruction, in the name of Jesus, I bind you and break you and command you to loose us and let us go. I bind the prince of the power of the air that worketh in the sons of disobedience. Lord, I lift up every one of our children. Lord, I break every generationally inherited curse that is manifesting in our children that is causing them trouble. Every spirit of disobedience, in the name of Jesus, I bind you and break you off of our children in Jesus' name. I call down the fire of the Holy Ghost to burn up every altar that Satan has erected for our seed. In the name of Jesus, every altar be destroyed in the name of Jesus. I give lead to the unholy angels that were assigned to them along with the guardian angel. Satan has a counterfeit for everything. I give leave right now to every unholy angel on ourselves as parents and off of our children. I say be gone in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I bind and break every spirit of Antichrist at work in our children. In the name of Jesus, every spirit of witchcraft, I bind you and break you in Jesus' name. I come against every spirit of rebellion In the name of Jesus, the perverse spirit, go. In the name of Jesus, all perverse spirits, every spirit of rebellion, every spirit of bondage, I bind you and break you off of our families now in Jesus' name. Every spirit of bondage, bondage to drugs, legal and illegal, in the name of Jesus, every spirit of bondage due to drugs, alcohol, tobacco, I bind and break the stupid spirit off of our children.
Yes.
Did you know there's a stupid spirit that is attached to marijuana? A stupid, y'all want to be stupid? No. That's the answer. No. Don't ever smoke marijuana. Don't start drinking. There are spirits in alcohol. Evil spirits in alcohol that will make you not care about doing wrong things. I bind and break every stupid spirit in the name of Jesus. I come against arrested development right now in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of arrested development that even is in the parents, even in the grandparents, in Jesus' name, every spirit of arrested development, I break your power right now in the name of Jesus. I bind and break the spirit of the bastard. I didn't even touch on that. But when you don't discipline your children, it opens them up to a bastard spirit. And the danger of that is it's a 10-generation curse and it keeps them from being interested in the things of God. Now I bind and break every spirit of the bastard in Jesus' name. I bind every spirit of rejection. Rejection from the womb. Rejection of mother. Rejection by father. Rejection by school teachers, rejection by preachers, all rejections by brothers, rejections by sisters. In Jesus' name, all spirits of rejection, I bind you and break your power and every kindred spirit and every like spirit in the name of Jesus. And I come against the spirit of self-hatred. I bind you and break you, every spirit of self-hatred in Jesus' name. Lord, right now, I call on the mighty warring angels to go out and cancel every assignment that has been put on us and our children and our homes and our churches in the name of Jesus. Every assignment, every curse in the name of Jesus, I break you and command you to be go. Just leave in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I just loose the spirit of adoption on all these children sitting here, the spirit of adoption. I lose the love of the Father. Lord, I give them a Father's blessing. Lord, I'm a woman, but You're the Daddy. And I just release to them a Father's blessing. If you've never received the blessing from your Father, be blessed. God loves you. God will be your Daddy. God can love you the way you've never been loved before. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask You to send Your Holy Spirit and ministering angels right now to the prodigals, those children that are out of the way, that are wayward. I ask You to send Your Holy Spirit and ministering angels right now. And we just call them back. We call them back, Lord. We call them back. Lord, whatever it takes to bring them to their senses. Lord, I ask that every parent can release that child to You. Stop trying to rescue them. Stop trying to save them. But Lord, turn them over to You. Let go of so that the Lord can take them up. And Father, I just give You thanks. I give You praise and glory and honor, Lord. I thank You for Your promises. And I am fully persuaded that which You have promised, You are also able to perform. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. 6 o'clock in the morning. Thank you. By the way, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. We have a prayer meeting here. Dr. Null is over it. And if you came with a need, let me tell you, don't miss that morning prayer meeting. It is so special. And also, anybody that wants to be baptized, I'm the name taker. So I'll be glad to take down your names and we'll get y'all dunked. Be obedient. Jesus did it. He's our example, so we should too. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Good word. Thank
you. This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.